WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
They say that one reason why George Bush lost the presidential election is that he couldn't cope with what he called the vision thing. In the 90s, we expect our political and business leaders to be visionaries. As our linguist Jeff Nunberg observes, it's a curious shift for a word that used to only apply to saints, poets, and madmen.
The cover story in the Utney Reader this month is called 100 Visionaries Who Could Change Your Life. Apparently, the idea is to make this a yearly feature, the Utney 100. That's an awful lot of vision, and they've had to stretch things a bit. Most of the names are predictable. There are the oracles from organizations like the Institute for the Future and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the CEOs of companies like Thinking Machines and Voyager Software. But I'm not sure about some of the other people they've got there. I love the director John Waters, but you wouldn't call him a visionary. I mean, you look at Divine in Pink Flamingos, she's not really a vision, is she? More like a sight. Still, the editors meant it as a compliment. It's a bull market for visionaries these days. It's curious, all these politicians and CEOs lining up to claim a label that people used to reserve for people like St. Teresa or Keats or Coleridge. You wonder what William Blake would have made of all those companies that ask every employee to provide an annual list of their visions and missions. I suppose it's just one more sign of the religiosity that's never far from the surface in American political and corporate life. But of course, when the CEOs and politicians on the Utney 100 talk about their visions, you're not supposed to think of either Kubla Khan or Mickey in the Night Kitchen. These are worldly folks, and when they're not dealing with the here and now, they're pondering the here and someday. You would have thought we already had enough words for a person who predicts the future: soothsayer, fortune teller, sibyl, seer, oracle, prophet. But the new visionaries have staked out a terrain of their own. For one thing, they take the long view of things. A forecaster is somebody who predicts that the 49ers will win the Super Bowl again next year. A visionary is somebody who predicts that the Tampa Bay Bucks will win it by the year 2050. This may be due to a difference in imagination or gaze, but I expect it also has something to do with a mode of payment. The forecasters don't collect their rewards unless they get the future right, so they can't look ahead too many quarters. Whereas the visionaries are only required to make the future sound interesting. If they can look decades down the pike, it's because they get to pick up their checks before the coffee carts have even been rolled away. That's what a visionary is, really, just a prophet with an honorarium. In fact, in the end, we really don't care much whether visionaries are getting the future right. 25 years ago in Future Shock, Alvin Toffler was predicting that marriage contracts would soon become temporary, that paper clothes would soon replace cloth, that airports, hotels, and shopping centers would soon cease to look alike. A few years later in Megatrends, John Nesbitt was saying that California would keep on growing, that the Chrysler bailout was bound to fail, that cable TV would beat out the networks, but that home shopping would be a washout. But people keep buying these guys' books because they offer edification, wonder, even a promise of salvation. Like Blake or Joseph Smith, they have seen the New Jerusalem, but its portals are only going to open to those who welcome their high-tech redemption. That's the one thing all visionaries are obliged to do, is paint the world to come as a better place. We talk about prophets of doom, but there are no contrarian visionaries. They're the priests in the temple of progress. I suppose that's what makes it so hard to think of somebody like John Waters in this company. You don't think of a visionary as somebody with a sense of irony, much less a pencil mustache. Newt Gingrich didn't make the Utney 100 list, but then the magazine probably went to bed before the election. Gingrich has a foundation of his own dedicated to creating a positive vision of the future, as they say, and you can be sure he won't make the same mistake that George Bush did, of fumbling the vision thing. In fact, the whole contract with America has an almost apocalyptic tone to it in the best chiliastic tradition of American politics. They ride to the mountaintop at twilight, and they look down over the desert, and they say, someday there'll be a balanced budget here. Then their term limit comes up, and they slip off into the sunset, leaving the rest of us wondering what's gone down. Just like Keats, after the nightingale stopped singing. Was it a vision or a waking dream?
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.